Hello and welcome to Bingeworthy, a podcast dedicated to telling you which of these many dozens of streaming shows that are being thrown at you each week and month are worth your time and attention. Hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo, and today I get to talk to you again about one of my favorites of the year, which has had not one, but two seasons drop in 2022. I'm, of course, talking about Apple TV Plus's Slow Horses, which premiered its second season on December 2nd, only on Apple TV Plus. If you haven't yet watched it, go ahead, catch the first six episodes. That way you can just keep it rolling right into season two, because it is outstanding. For the uninitiated, Slow Horses follows Jackson Lamb, played by Gary Oldman, and his team of British intelligence misfits as they're basically thrust yet again into a case that is more than meets the eye when an old colleague of Lamb's turns up dead on a bus. Of course, twists, turns, flatulence, espionage, all of that ensue. I love season one, and I continue to love it in season two. The good news is that Apple TV Plus has already renewed the series for season three and season four, which are currently shooting. Joining me to discuss the show in two separate interviews, first up is Gary Oldman and Saskia Reeves, and their co-star Jack Loudon joins me afterwards to talk about their favorite parts of playing the characters in this world of Slow Horses and much more. I talked to them all for season one, and I'm happy to get some more time with them for season two and beyond. But before we get to my chat with our guests, I've got to tell you that Bingeworthy is a part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes the Playlist Podcast, The Discourse, The Rogue Ones, Yellowstoners, Deep Focus, The Fourth Wall, and more. We can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Follow, like, subscribe, drop us a comment or a rating. We appreciate all of it. As a reminder to our listeners, Slow Horses Season 2 premiered its first episode of Season 2 on December 2nd, with new episodes dropping every week. Okay, let's get to my interviews. First up, Gary Oldman and Saskia Reeves, followed by Jack Loudon. Gary, Saskia, wonderful to see you again. Still loving Slow Horses and your performances. Congratulations on another excellent season.
Thank you.
So I will start with, what is your favorite part about playing these characters of Jackson Lamb and Catherine Standish? And has it changed at all as you've went on?
Well, it will change. We've they're still shooting season three, but Saskia and I have wrapped on that season, and we will return in February to shoot season four. And so we take these characters and we go forward and put them in different dynamics and different scenarios. So that's a great thing. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I just personally with Catherine, I just, her complexity and all the demons she's handling and the past and the present problems, and it's just very satisfying the way they are being sort of eked out quite generously in each episode or series. Or, you know, I'm finding that very, it's a different experience from doing series in for myself in the past. There's something really solid to stand on, and there's real history that I can draw from, and I have the books ahead of me to enrich the character that I'm playing, and I love working with these actors as well. Very satisfying.
Yeah, it's great fun. Someone like playing Jackson, who is, you know, deliberately very confrontational, and it's great fun to come in and play a character like that. And you know, I get these scripts and I look at some of the things I have to, the scenarios I'm in, and the lines I have to say, and then it's fascinating now, having already done season one, and you think, oh, I wonder how Jack Loudon's going to react to that. I wonder how Saskia's going to react to that. It's great to come in and really knock it around, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Just by the very nature of Slough House, Slow Horses has a lot of people looking for redemption. And your characters, I mean, Jackson Lamb, Catherine Standish, I'm not sure they're there for that. Do you think that they are there for redemption, or do you think they're there for something else?
I think Catherine is sort of living a life of not purgatory, but or hair. She's like, she's wearing a hair shirt of some kind to punish herself for the misdemeanors of the past. But, you know, she's a bit OCD, and like Lamb actually is a bit of a workaholic. Her whole life is her job. And that's not necessarily a healthy thing. It's great for the program. But
they share that.
They do. They have a lot of similarities, actually. Or they share things, rather than have similarities. They're like the opposite ends of the spectrum of the same spectrum, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think she wants to feel functional. Mm. She wants to be functional, in contrast to how dysfunctional she used to be, and to try and make up for the wrongs of the past. And she blames herself for her boss's death. And she's trying to, man, redemption. You mean get to heaven?
No, not like that, but more just like in your life, you know, you feel like you are up against it and you feel like you've been put there for a reason and you need to redeem yourself.
Yeah, I think she does, actually.
No, with Lamb. No. Lamb, no. The die is set.
Mm.
Is he trying to redeem?
Feels like he's chosen that for a very specific reason, and he's not really sure.
Yeah, it's like a sort of, it's like a punishment.
Yeah.
Masochistic.
It's slightly masochistic, yeah. But then again, that's the other thing, you know, if he could just put all of this aside and get some help. Like he doesn't, it's like someone needs to say to him, you don't have to live like this. But he is a, like you say, she's a workaholic, and you say she wants to be functional. I think, in a way, it's odd. He wants to be dysfunctional despite himself. I always remember, you know, if you talk, I don't know, you probably interviewed Anthony Hopkins.
I have not.
And you speak with Tony, and he really sort of, he always says, oh, you know, it's just a job. I come in, you know what I mean? He says, I just learn the lines and I don't bump into the furniture. And he makes it, you know, I turn up and they hit the marks and say the lines and, you know, there you are. We know that Tony does more work than that. Mm-hmm. He loves to sort of outwardly, publicly sort of say, oh, it's all a game, isn't it? I just come in, learn the lines and all the rest of it. And you just think, you know what, Tony? No. You really do your homework and that's the thing. I think it's like a front. It's like Jackson Lamb, that training that he has, mm-hmm. and that talent that he has for it, that in some ways he shares with Smiley, you know, in that sense. Mm-hmm. He's very, very, very smart and often three or four chess moves ahead of whoever he's with, in spite of himself. Mm-hmm. He wants to be able to say, I don't care. I don't. And that's what I think, that's what all that is. It's like, I just look, I come in, put my feet up. I come in, learn the lines, and I don't bump into the furniture. And you go, no. You don't do that, Jackson. You know, and also he always gives the impression, certainly to people like Ho and River, that he's just up there with his feet on the desk snoozing, and he's not. When he's got his feet up on the desk and he's sat back in that chair and his eyes are closed, he's thinking.
Yeah.
The brain is working. So they're very complex.
Yeah.
Very nuanced characters.
Absolutely. I adore the show for that reason. Gary, it was reported at one time that you said you may retire after playing Jackson Lamb. Was there any truth to that, or was that just like misreporting or misunderstanding?
Well, I don't think you could ever really, you know, never say never.
Right.
But I feel very, very lucky that, I mean, I'm 65 next year. And I've noticed you do some careers. There's some people where the work falls off, you know, and I feel very fortunate to have landed Lamb. It's a great series, well-written. Based on very, very good books, full of wonderful stories and these very complex characters. And so I feel very, very, I feel really lucky. I'm really honored to come in. So, you know, not only to play the part, but work with this team and this crew and these designers and directors and writers and actors. And I just feel that there's now 8 books. Obviously, it depends on the viewers, the subscription, the audience, and the people upstairs who write the checks, whether we're going to continue. But I could see myself, yes, playing Lamb for the foreseeable future and there may be something that comes along that might interest me in between, but I would be more than happy to end a career that has been a great career playing Jackson Lamb. I'd be more than happy to hang up my boots, you know, on a,
absolutely.
On a, I think on a,
pack
on
away
a,
your grease paint.
I will pack. I will. All right, as I like to say, my theatrical cleats.
Yes.
Because I climb that mountain every
Such
time.
Such hard.
That emotional mountain I climb.
I'll wrap on this. You both had such extremely varied careers in terms of characters you've gotten to play in the age of reboots and sequels and revisiting characters. If you could pick one role that you'd reprise again, what would you choose?
I did a series years ago called Island at War for BBC, and I would love to play that character again. But I always do that with every, I don't know if you're the same. I always, after the event, I go, damn, oh no, I should have, oh, I missed that. So I'd like to revisit all my characters, but I'd love to go back to that actually, because we didn't go to a second series in that.
Yeah.
And it was such a great thing. And as I've got older, humour, which is very much a character in this Slow Horses series, absolutely fascinates me, and how people use humour to defend, to get through the world, to befriend themselves with others. I think it's the thing that we as human beings sets us apart from everything, our sense of humour. Sometimes I find with all the troubles in the world, I think, well, they've lost their sense of humour, haven't they? Yeah,
come, just have a laugh. But the it's funny you say the thing about, I don't do it so much now. Occasionally I might, but I used to be walking down the street 6 months after I'd finished a play, or a year after I'd finished a play. And for some reason, a scene or something would come into my head. And I remember it vividly, walking down the King's Road about a year after I did a play. And I know why it jogged my memory, because I'd seen it was the Royal Court and I'd passed the Royal Court. And I was thinking about the past,
mm-hmm.
and I went, that's how I should have played that scene. You know, that's what it was about. And that's, you know, so I know that feeling exactly, where you just kind of come away from something. I wanted to revisit Smiley, and that nearly happened and didn't for many reasons. But that would have been a nice, I mean, there is obviously a very delicious sequel, Smiley's People, after mm-hmm. Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Even though George appears in others, he does appear in other stories, but that particularly is a great Smiley tale. So that would have been nice, I think, to revisit that one. But
Great answer. They are going to literally hook me out of here. But
all right.
Appreciate you both for taking the time and giving me a little extra. Greatly anticipating season 3. Thank you again. Jack, how the heck are you, man? Good to see you again.
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Congratulations on another great season of Slow Horses. We are still huge fans at the Playlist. I'd love to start with your character of River Cartwright. What's your favorite part about playing him?
I love the fact that he's just sort of eternally unhappy. he's never really yet has been given anything to really smile about. And so his cynicism and his dry humor is definitely what I find really attractive about him, and because that makes the world of espionage that we're in, it's a very interesting place to work from.
Yeah, I mean, every character in the show is super complex and rich thematically. Do you have any like best and worst qualities that you like really like about him, and like things you really don't like about him?
His impatience is a really frustrating thing, because I'm quite an impatient person myself, and it can sometimes be a force for good, and it's definitely a force for good with him, but it makes him eternally unhappy, as like I say. His sense of doing the right thing in a very dark world, the world of espionage, is a lovely thing. Also, his constant trying to prove himself to his grandfather, and the sort of legacy of the family name in the service, is also a really, really interesting angle to come at it from, because it takes it away from that sort of just trying to keep everybody safe. And he's just trying to sort of, he's very self-serving in a way.
Yeah, that and his relationship to Jackson Lamb, it almost felt like he wanted to prove himself at first, but now I don't know if he really even cares at this point. They've just kind of tolerated each other. Do you think Jackson realizes how lucky he is to have River?
I think deep down he does, but he will never let him know that. And it's his aim is to make River feel like he's useless. And I think that is to make him an even better spy. Is to not make him complacent. I've experienced that kind of relationship before, and it's not a very healthy relationship, definitely, but you definitely improve.
Do you ever think he'd, Jackson that is, do you think he'd let River go? Like he says he at one point he says he did give him a recommendation, but did he? Can you believe that? Do you think he would ever let him leave the slow horses?
No, I don't think he would. I think it's all in his own interests, Jackson, to have River there because of his grandfather and how Lamb feels about his grandfather. And I think it's just a wonderful opportunity for him to sort of get his own back on David Cartwright. So no, I don't think he will ever let him go. No.
Yeah. And then you mentioned that he's kind of eternally unhappy, River. If he did get out, there's probably no way he'd ever be happy if he did get, you know, the thing that he's chasing. Do you think that's a possibility, or would he just discover, oh, I'm miserable, I should have been at the slow horses?
Yeah, I mean it's I would love to see River before Slough House. I would love to go back and see if he was like really happy, sort of bounced into the office every day kind of thing. But I still don't think he would. I think the weight of expectation and him being quite hard on himself probably keeps him in that place of quite useful unhappiness is probably why he's so good at what he does.
Yeah, this season is really interesting. The mystery of it all threw me for a loop. I literally could not figure out. They like literally spell it out for you in the last episode. Do you find yourself trying to figure this stuff out in the scripts, or have you read ahead in the books and you're just like, okay, how are we going to do this?
I tend to just really, it sounds like a dreadful thing to say, but I tend to really focus just on what River's doing.
Yeah.
Because like you say, it is the it's so intricate, the plot line, particularly in this one, that I think it would be a waste of time for me to just get my head around like what Lamb's doing and what like Standish is doing and what Taverner's doing. But that's what the great joy of this is that you sort of go off and do your own thing. And then we all sort of bump into each other at unit bases. And someone's just been doing something completely different, which I guess is what it's like in the real world of espionage, is that no one's allowed to tell each other what they're doing.
Speaking of your other characters that are in there, if you could switch places or roles or anything, who would you want to switch places with within the Slow Horses gang?
I'd want to switch places with Catherine Standish.
She's got a good role this season.
She has, brilliant. And you know, someone like Saskia will serve it so well. And I think I would love to be in Standish's position just to sort of be able to get my own back more on Lamb and sort of mess with his chi a lot more. That would be fun.
Since this is, you are working with Gary Frickin' Oldman here. Do you have like a favorite Gary Oldman movie? And have you tried to get stories out of him where you're like, I just need to know what it was like filming this? Or are you just like, I'm going to play cool, whatever. I'm cool.
I think at first I definitely played it cool, and a lot of energy went into just trying to make it like this is just an everyday thing with Gary. I think one of my favorite performances of Gary, which is more niche, is Fifth Element. It's just mental, his performance in it, and the character, that whole film is insane. And it's just, but he manages to anchor it in a place of where you kind of start believing that that guy exists, and that's the sort of brilliance of Gary. But I love that one in particular, especially when he gets that massive gun. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, that's an amazing movie. And just the haircut alone is worth the price of admission. As far as Slow Horses goes, looking back on these first two seasons, do you have a favorite moment or anything that really stands out when you think about filming?
In this one in particular, the being in the Cotswolds was not a place that you would instantly think when you think of an espionage thriller. So it was really lovely to be there. And it's such a beautiful part of the world anyway. The sort of strangeness of that place, because it's so picturesque and so perfect, really added to the unease that he feels when he's on that mission. So just the whole summer that we were there, and it was wonderful. It was warm. I think the Euros were on. So it was great.
That's awesome. Last time we spoke, I told you I'd love to see him like a superhero or an action hero role. And I think you said you wanted to kick John Wick's ass. Well done with that choice. At this point, I can't help but notice that, you know, they're looking for a new Bond. Does something like that interest you? Or are you like, this is my spy character, I think I'm going to do other things at this point?
Well, with Slow Horses, there's just so far to go with this. And I'm really enjoying the world of this, which is a sort of tongue-in-cheek look at it. And the humor in this definitely makes this sort of more attractive. But I mean, in terms of that, of Bond, it's just too soon in terms of, it should just still be Daniel Craig. He's just so brilliant. So I really think they should just get him back. Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. I mean, he's not coming back, but that's fair. As far as what's next, are you currently filming 3 and 4? Are you doing those back to back, or are you doing other things right now?
Yeah, we're filming 3 at the moment. And and then 4 straight after. So yeah, it's just nonstop, really.
Yeah, that was a lovely surprise to have a trailer for season 2 right away after season 1. And I love the show so much. They're giving me the wrap. So I'll just remind everybody that Slow Horses season 2 premieres globally on December 2nd, and new episodes are premiering weekly. It's an amazing season. Jack, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, man.